بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الذين آمنوا الله أكبر بسم الله
فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
جهان عبرت هر سو نمونه مگر تجھ کو اندھا کیا رنگ بونے مگر تجھ کو اندھا کیا رنگ بونے کبھی غور سے بھی دیکھا ہے تو نے جو معمور تھے وہ محل اب ہے سونے جو معمور تھے وہ محل اب ہے سونے جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے یہ عبرت کی جاہے تماشا نہیں ہے ملے خوف میں شکست کیسے مکی ہو گئے بے مکہ کیسے کیسے ملے خوف میں شکست کیسے مکی ہو گئے بے مکہ کیسے کیسے ہوئے نام ور بے نشاں کیسے کیسے ہوئے نام ور بے نشاں کیسے کیسے زمین کھا گئی آسماں کیسے کیسے جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے عبرت کی جاہے تماشا نہیں ہے زمین کے ہوئے لوگ پیوند کیا کیا ملوک حضور و خداوند کیا کیا زمین کے ہوئے لوگ پیوند کیا کیا ملوک حضور و خداوند کیا کیا دکھائے گا تو زور تا چند کیا کیا دکھائے گا تو زور تا چند کیا کیا اجل پچھارے تنو مند کیا کیا جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے کیا عبرت کی جاہے تماشا نہیں ہے اجل چھوڑا ندارا اسی نے سکندر صفات ہے بیمارا اجل نے کس راہ چھوڑا ندارا اسی نے سکندر صفات ہے بیمارا ہر ایک لے کے کیا کیا نہ حسرت سجارا ہر ایک لے کے کیا کیا نہ حسرت سدارا پرا رہ گیا سب یوں ہی تھات سارا جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے کیا عبرت کی جاہے تماشا نہیں ہے یہاں پر خوشی ہے مبدل بسد غم جہاں شادی آتی وہی اب ہے ماتم جہاں پر خوشی ہے مبدل بسد غم جہاں شادی آتی وہی اب ہے ماتم یہ سب ہر طرف انقلابات عالم یہ سب ہر طرف انقلابات عالم تیری ذات ہی میں تغیر ہے ہر دم جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے کیا عبرت کی جاہے تماشا نہیں ہے تجھے پہلے بچپن نے برسوں کھلایا جوانی نے پھر تجھ کو مجنوں بنایا تجھے پہلے بچپن نے برسوں کھلایا جوانی نے پھر تجھ کو مجنوں بنایا بنایا بڑھاپے نے پھر آ کے کیا کیا ستایا بڑھاپے نے پھر آ کے کیا کیا ستایا اجل تیرا کر دے گی بالکل صفایا جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے کی جانے تماشا نہیں ہے یہی تجھے کو دلہے رہو سب سبالا ہو زینت نرالی ہو فیشن نرالا یہی تجھے کو دلہے رہو سب سبالا ہو زینت نرالی ہو فیشن نرالا جیا کرتا ہے کیا یوں ہی مرنے والا جیا کرتا ہے کیا یوں ہی مرنے والا تجھے حسن ظاہر نے دھوکے میں ڈالا جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے کیا کرا کی جانے تماشا نہیں ہے جہاں میں کہیں شور ماتم بپا ہے کہیں فقر پاپا سے آہو بکا ہے جہاں میں کہیں شور ماتم بپا ہے کہیں فقر پاپا سے آہو بکا ہے کہیں شکوے جور مکرو دبا ہے کہیں شکوے جور مکرو دبا ہے غرض ہر طرف سے یہی بس پدا ہے جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے کیا ذرا کی جاہے تماشا نہیں ہے یہ دنیا ہے پانی محبوب تجھ کو ہوئی واہ کیا چیز مرغوب تجھ کو یہ دنیا ہے پانی محبوب تجھ کو ہوئی واہ کیا چیز مرغوب تجھ کو نہیں عقل اتنی بھی مجذوب تجھ کو نہیں عقل اتنی بھی مجذوب تجھ کو سمجھ لینا اب چاہیے خوب تجھ کو جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے کیا ذرا کی جاہے تماشا نہیں ہے
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذريته brothers, young friends and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
whoever comes into this world comes only to return. This world is a temporary abode, and the life hereafter is the permanent abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. The paltry benefits of this world are very little, very insignificant. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. And hereafter, the Akhirah is far, far greater and better for those people who live a life of taqwa. Hujjat al-Islam, Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, if the space between the earth and the heavens was filled with small pebbles, very small pebbles, and if after every 1,000 years a pebble was removed, then a time will come when each and every pebble will be removed, but the life hereafter will not come to an end. This world is temporary, the life hereafter is everlasting and permanent. And whoever comes into this world, or whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created on earth and above, other than his great being, will sooner or later perish. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. It is only the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, that will remain forever and ever. Other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever has come onto this earth will perish. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Each and everything, each and every item, each and every object besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will one day definitely perish. So whoever comes into this world comes only to return. Whoever comes into this world comes only to return. The sun rises in the morning and the day begins. After a few hours the sun sets and the day ends. This is a very silent proclamation, very silent declaration, that anything that begins in this world will definitely one day come to an end. This is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. The sun rises, the day begins. The sun sets, the day comes to an end. Similarly, our life has begun upon our birth, but this life will not remain forever. Very soon we will depart from this world. At our appointed time, the month begins, the lunar month begins, with the observation of the crescent, and it increases until we reach the 14th line, and we see the full moon. And after the 14th line, it begins to decrease, and comes the 29th day, 30th day, the moon is gone. So every month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that anything that begins will always come to an end. The year begins, the solar year on the 1st of January, the lunar year on the 1st of Muharram. After 360 days, 366 days, that year comes to an end and a new year begins. Again, on a yearly basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that whatever begins has to come to an end. There is only one being, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will remain forever and ever. If we look around ourselves into the universe, on this earth, on whatever is taking place around us, we will find these silent declarations, silent announcements being made every day, that whoever has come into this world, after that person's beginning, there will be an end. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Each person will taste the taste of death. Ya sakin al qasr al mu'alla, satudfanu an qareebin fi al turabi. له ملك ينادي كل يوم لدود الموت وابن للخراب. A poet says, Abu Atahiyya, Ya Sakin al Qasr al Mu'alla, O the dweller of high mansions, O the one who dwells in high mansions, remember, Satudfan wan qareebun fi turab. Today, your abode is on the first floor, on the second floor, on the third floor, high. In the skies, Satul Sanaman Parimun Fitturabi. Very soon, you will be buried in the grave. Lahu Malakun Yunadi Kulla Yawmi. There is an angel who announces on a daily basis, Nidunil Maut Ibabnudil Harabi. Nidunil Maut, if you give birth to any child, then give birth so that that child may die one day. If you give birth, then you must remember that I am giving birth to a child, not for this child to remain in this world forever and ever. Little will know that if you give birth with this in mind, that I am giving birth to this child for birth. One day it will have to die. Wabnu bil kharabi, if you build something, if you erect a building, if you construct a building, then you must construct the building with this in mind, that a time is going to come when this building is going to collapse. Sooner or later, it will have to collapse. This is the quality and effect of this world. Whatever we see around us, it will come to an end. It will perish sooner or later. Maybe after one day, maybe after 1 year, maybe after 100 years, maybe after 1,000 years, maybe it may exist for 100,000 years, million years, billion years, trillion years. But a time will come when it will see its end. The solar year and the lunar year has just begun recently. The year 2007 has come to an end, and the year 2008 has begun. The year 1428 has ended, and the year 1429 has begun. How should a Muslim celebrate the new year? People celebrate New Year's, people celebrate birthdays. يسف المرء ما ذهب الليالي ولكن ذهابهن له ذهابا. I was 25 last year, now I am 26, so it makes me happy. But before I was only 25, now I am 26.
I was 35, now I am 36. My child was 5, now it is 6. My child was 1, now it is 2. I was 50, now I am 51. I was 69, now I am 70. I was 99, now I am 100. We rejoice. The whole world celebrates. And being affected with the environment we live in, we the Muslims have forgotten our culture. Our culture, our Islamic culture, our Nabawi culture, our Quranic culture, our culture that was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have forgotten our culture, and we also celebrate New Year's. We also celebrate birthdays. It is not something to celebrate. يَسُرُّ الْمَرْأَ مَا ذَهَبَ اللَّيَالِي وَلَكِنْ ذِهَابُهُنَّ لَهُ ذِهَابًا. An Arabic poet says that the passing of the days and the nights makes a person happy. I was 5, now I'm 6. I was 11, now I'm 12. I was 15, now I'm 16. I was 25, now I'm 26. يَسُرُّ الْمَرْأَ مَا ذَهَبَ اللَّيَالِي. The passing of the days and the nights makes a person happy. But little does he realize, وَلَكِنْ ذِهَابُهُنَّ لَهُ ذَهَابًا. That passing away of his days and of his nights in reality is his passing away from this world. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the eminent Sahabi and the eminent Tabi, Hazrat Hassan al-Bishri rahimahumullah ta'ala says, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامُ فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ مِنْكَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْدُ. Oh human, oh the son of Adam, what are you? What is your reality? You are nothing but a few days. You are nothing but a few, you are made up of days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you 366 days of life. If Allah had not granted you those days, you would not have existed. Allah has given you one day, you are born, you live for one day, and then you depart. So after that one day, you do not exist. If Allah has given you one week, then you will exist for 7 days. After 7 days, you do not exist. If Allah has granted you 1 year, you will survive for 360 or 366 days. After that, you will not exist. So you are made up of days. You are nothing but days. Your reality is nothing but days. The days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you out of His infinite mercy and grace. So what are you celebrating? What are you rejoicing about? Because if you are made up of days, then if a day passes from your life, then part of you has gone. يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٌ. Oh, the son of Adam, you are made up of days. Your reality is nothing but days. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ مِنْكَ يَوْمٌ. If a day passes by from your life, ذَهَبَ بَعْدُ. That means a part of you has gone. A Muslim does not rejoice. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, كَيْفَ نَفَرَعْتُ. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great Mufassir. كَيْفَ نَفَرَعْتُ. كَيْفَ نَفَرَعْتُ. How can we rejoice? وَالْمَوْتُ وَرَاءَنَا وَالْقُبُورُ أَمَامُنَا. How can we rejoice when death is behind us and qabr is in front of us? كَيْفَ نَفْرَحُ وَالْمَوْتُ وَرَاءَنَا وَالْقُبُورُ أَمَامَنَا. How can we rejoice when death is behind us, قبر is in front of us, grave is in front of us. وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّنَا مَوْقِفُنَا. How can we rejoice when one day we will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْقِيَامَةُ مَوْعِدُنَا. How can we rejoice when Qiyamah is certain and we will perish and we will be accounted for each and every second of our lives. وَعَلَى السِّرَاطِ مُرُورُنَا. How can we rejoice when we have to cross the Sirat? And that bridge of Sirat, we will have to cross that bridge under which Jahannam is waiting for us. It is not a matter of rejoicing, my friends. A Muslim, when he begins a new day, or when he completes his day, when he completes his week, when he completes his month, when he completes his year, he does not rejoice. He looks back. He reflects upon the last year, the last 360 days. He reflects upon the last month, the 30 days. He reflects upon the last 7 days. He reflects upon the last 24 hours. He engages himself first in muraqabah and thereafter muhasabah. Before he takes a step, he engages in muraqabah. What am I intending to do? What am I intending to do? I want to do this, I want to do this. In which direction am I taking my step? Is it towards something that my Creator likes? Or is it towards something that my Creator dislikes? Before the passing of the time, he is engaged in muraqabah. Muraqabah, he watches himself. He watches his nafs. He supervises his nafs. He monitors his nafs. What am I just about to do? In which direction am I about to go? Is it something that my Creator likes? Or is it something that my Creator dislikes? If it is something that my Creator dislikes, I must immediately abstain from it. I must stay away from it. If it is something that my Creator likes, I must carry it out. If it is something that He neither dislikes nor likes, He doesn't dislike, He doesn't like. It's not a question of liking or disliking. It is permissible. So He doesn't dislike. But it doesn't even bring reward. So He doesn't like. So it's not a matter of liking or disliking. It is permissible, mubah. So at that time he questions himself, is it something that will bring me profit in this world? It is something that is permissible. It is not going to bring me profit in the hereafter. But is it something that will profit me in this world? If the answer is yes, he carries it out. If the answer is no, despite being permissible, he stays away from it. Because a mu'min will never engage himself in something that neither brings profit in the hereafter nor in this world. Because he realizes the value of his life. He realizes the value of his life. How valuable this life is. Ho rahi hai umr, misle barf kam, chupke chupke rafta rafta dam dam. Ho rahi hai umr, this umr, umr, this life, this time. Time is life, life is time. Umr, our age, our life, our time, our days, our nights, they are assets. These valuable seconds, these valuable minutes, these valuable hours, they are commodities. Some people have dollars, that is a commodity. Some people buy shares, that is a commodity. Some people buy gold, that is a commodity. Some people buy silver, that is a commodity. Similarly, this time is also a commodity. It is an asset. Before spending wealth, before spending gold, before spending silver, before spending pounds, before spending dollars, before spending cents and pennies, a person questions, is this going to bring profit or loss? Is this going to bring profit or loss? If it is going to bring profit, he will spend. And if it is going to bring loss, he will abstain. And if it is something that neither brings loss nor profit, then his mind tells him that in itself is also a loss. Because anything that does not bring profit is a loss. So if we engage ourselves in listening to football commentary, cricket commentary, if we engage ourselves in talking about football, and the only question we ask ourselves is it permissible or not? If it is permissible, fine. If it is permissible, fine. Our akabir, our pious predecessors, the sahaba, the tabi'in, the taba tabi'in, rahimahumullah ta'ala, never ask this question, is this harmful for me in the hereafter or not? They did not ask this question. Our mentality and our culture is this harmful or not? If the answer is, it is not harmful in the hereafter, that means I should engage myself. Their culture was, is this profitable for the world in the hereafter? If it was not profitable, they would not engage themselves. Listening to football commentary. If we ask this question, is this harmful in the hereafter? A person may get a fatwa from here, another fatwa from there, another fatwa from there. It is permissible. It is permissible. If it is permissible, it is not harmful in the hereafter. If it is not harmful in the hereafter, there is no problem. Our pious predecessors never used to ask this question. Is this profitable? I will spend 45 minutes of my life, 90 minutes of my life listening to football commentary. Is it going to bring any profit? Is it going to bring any profit in the hereafter? Is it going to bring any profit in this world? If something does not bring loss, but at the same time it does not bring profit, then that in itself is loss. Because you are giving away 90 minutes of your precious life to an activity, to an engagement that is not profiting you neither in this world nor in the hereafter. Think for a while, my friends. It hurts to know how a Muslim youth who reaches the age of 18, 20, 25 still is a child, still thinks like a child. He does not realize where he spent his life. He does not realize where his weapons are going. Permissible, permissible, permissible. Is this what you are doing? Is this permissible? Is this permissible? Is this permissible? Is this how much we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this how much we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That we are only prepared to carry out that activity where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish us? Is this how much we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I will perform 3 rakat salatul maghrib because it is fard. And if I don't perform, Allah will punish me. And I will perform 2 rakat sunnah muakkada as well because Allah will punish me. As far as 2 rakat nafal is concerned, Allah will not punish me. Is this the only relationship we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That we fear Him only. And we will only carry out that item where we fear His punishment. We fear His punishment. The ulama have stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 2 rights upon us. One right is the right of adlat, right of reverence. And the second right is the right of muhabbat. And a person cannot become a complete banda, a complete abd, a complete slave and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until and unless he does not fulfill both these rights towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The right of adlat, the right of reverence, he respects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he fears his punishment. So he carries out everything that is firm. He carries out everything that is wajib. He carries out everything that is sunnah muakkada. And thereafter, he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he says to himself that I have performed fard, I have performed wajib, I have performed sunnah, but I love my creator so much that I want to perform zakat as well. I want to perform zakat as well. I have fasted the whole month of Ramadan. I have absolved myself of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I love my creator so much that I want to fast another 6 days in Shawwal. I want to fast for 2 days in the month of Muharram. I want to fast 9 days in Zulhijjah, the day of Arafah and the other 8 days. I want to fast the 3 days every month, 13, 14, 15. I want to fast on Monday, I want to fast on Thursday. I have given zakat, so I have absorbed myself of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I love my creator so much, I want to spend more. I want to spend in Allah, I want to spend here, I want to spend here. I want to help the poor, I want to help the orphan. Allah has 2 rights upon us, my friends. 2 rights. Nowadays the culture has become, and it is a very, very disappointing situation for the Muslim Ummah. It is a very disappointing situation for the Muslim Ummah. And if we wish to safeguard the religion as it was left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the Sahaba Ikram radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum, by the Tabi'in, by the Taba Tabi'in, by the Muhaddisin, by the Mufassirin, by the Awliya of the Ummah, then we have to move a step forward. And we need to question ourselves, is this profitable for me in the hereafter or not? If it is not profitable, I cannot believe myself. I cannot believe myself. I am reading a newspaper. I am reading a newspaper. It is permissible. Ask any Mufti, he will say it is permissible. Okay, permissible. I am going to spend 1 hour reading this newspaper. And I am talking about those newspapers which do not contain anything which is Islamic. I am talking about pure news. Pure news. And a person is reading only pure news. But at the end of 1 hour, you need to question yourself before reading this paper, before reading that article. Is it going to bring me any profit, any benefit in the hereafter? And is it going to bring me any profit, any benefit in this world? Is decision to improve my English. Okay, fine.
By knowing what's happening throughout the world, am I going to take any actions on an individual base, on a collective base to resolve that situation? By reading this article, am I going to learn any lesson? Is it going to benefit me in any way?
I have read the newspaper yesterday. I read it for 1 week. I was reading it since 5 years, 10 years I've been reading it.
How has it benefited me? How has it benefited me? We need to ask these questions, my friends.
Misled birth come. This life is a
it is meritorious. And this is a very important point that each and every Muslim, each and every youth needs to instill in his mind.
That everything that is mubah, everything that is permissible has not been created so that we engage and engross ourselves in the mubah.
The fuqaha have said and the ulama have said that the barrier between ourselves and sin is mubah.
This is the compulsory actions, farz, wajib, sunnah.
And here are the sins, the kabair and the sagair,
the major sins and the minor sins. And what is in between? Here is something that profits us in the hereafter. Here is something that brings loss in the hereafter. What is in between?
Mubah.
Something that does not bring loss, nor profit.
So if a person slowly moves into mubah, and he engages himself into mubah, he becomes habituated to spending his time in mubah. So what is the next line? That is the borderline between profit and loss. Mubah is the borderline. If a person moves into mubah and continues moving,
he will soon find himself engaged in those activities which will bring loss in the hereafter.
So our akabir, our mashayikh, the fuqaha, the muhaddithin, the mufassirin, they advise us
to only engage in mubah when it is beneficial for you in the hereafter or in this world. Eating food is mubah. You eat fruit because it benefits you in this world. It gives you a good healthy life. You will be able to conduct yourself physically well. And by having a healthy life, you will be able to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you will benefit you in the hereafter.
Any mubah that benefits you either in this world lawfully
or in the hereafter, you must engage.
Any mubah that does not benefit you, you must stay away from it. Because if you continue going towards mubah, permissible, you will find yourself that you have landed into the haram.
So the ulama have said that the border and the wall between ourselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mubah. The more you stay away from mubah and permissible items which does not benefit you in this world nor in the hereafter, the more you will stay away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying, friends, instill this point in our minds, because we are wasting very, very precious seconds of our lives.
Imagine in 90 minutes of football commentary, 90 minutes after the football commentary has ended, what have you gained? Each person is a judge and jury for himself. Ask yourself, what have you gained? And in 1 year, how many 90 minutes?
Those who become obsessed, how many 90 minutes?
And does it end at 90 minutes? Does it end at 90 minutes?
So before the 90 minutes, when does it start? 3 days before, 4 days before, 5 days before, we start discussing the great mess is going to take place. And once the 90 minutes is over, what happens?
We come into the masjid with the thought about the 90 minutes. Allahu Akbar. We are in salah, we are thinking about the 90 minutes. We are thinking about the goals. If our favorite team is playing at salah times, we cannot come to the masjid. We are talking about those people who perform 5 times salat regularly. They cannot come to the masjid. They cannot come to the masjid to perform salat. On Friday, if our favorite team is playing, we will not come until the khutbah is over. We will come only for that salat, only 2 rakat. And during that 2 rakat, the Imam Sahib is reciting in the same tone, with the same speed that he normally recites. But that salat seems so slow. So slow, and inside we are so frustrated. My friends, just imagine what destruction this love for football has brought to you. that while standing here on Friday, behind the Imam, when the Imam is talking on behalf of all of us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that very moment we find that conversation of our Imam sahab frustrating. We find it very frustrating. As soon as the salat is over, we run out of the masjid and we want to go back and enjoy our food. I always tell my young friends that when you go to a mufti, you say, is listening to football commentary permissible or not? What you ask him, he will answer. Why don't you let him know your feelings, your emotions and your sentiments inside regarding football teams and regarding cricket teams? And how you feel in namaz when a particular football team is playing football? Why don't you tell the mufti how much love you have for those people who do not have iman? For the fussas and the fujjar, the open violators of sharia. Why don't you tell the mufti how you feel inside when your team loses? And then ask him whether it is permissible for you or not. We can cheat everybody, my friends, we cannot cheat our conscience and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This topic may seem very trivial to many people. It may seem very insignificant. But it is a very, very important topic, because if we do not pay attention and if we are unable to understand the boundaries in regard to this matter, on the day of Qiyamah, we will have to give more than we will take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will question us regarding each and every second. Each and every second. Imagine in 90 minutes, if you read the Quran, upon every word of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon every letter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants 10 minutes. Man qara harfan min kitabillah, falahu bihi hasanatun, wal hasanatu bi ashri amsalha, la aqulu alif lam mim harfun, walakin alif harfun, walamun harfun, walamun harfun.
If you say Alam, Allah grants you 30 minutes.
Now Alam, how long does it take? 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds? How many seconds
in a 90-minute football match? And if you recite the Quran, imagine how much it would be.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, tamla'u al-mizan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person says Alhamdulillah, Allah grants him reward which will fill the whole scale. Which will fill the whole scale. And what is the size of the scale? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the scale that will weigh our amal in the Qiyamah will be so large that all the seven heavens, the seven earths, and everything that is within it is placed into that scale. That scale will not fill. When person says Alhamdulillah only once, Alhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan, it fills the whole scale in the world. In 90 minutes, how many times can you say Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah? Imagine the time we are wasting. Ho rahi hai umra misle barf kam. Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, ho rahi hai umra misle barf kam. Our life is decreasing just like the melting ice. Ho rahi hai umra misle barf kam. Chukke chukke, quietly, quietly, silently, silently. Rafta rafta, slowly, slowly. Dum by dum, second by second. Slowly, slowly, quietly, quietly, second by second, our life is decreasing just like the melting ice. The melting ice does not announce that now I am only 50% left. Now I am only 25% left. Use me quickly, I am only 10% left. I am melting away. Very quietly. And every second it does not stop anywhere. Similarly, our life is melting. Our life is melting. Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the eminent Khalifa of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Maulana Shaykh Ali Thani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, says that one day during the afternoon heat of June and July, I walked out of my house and I saw a person selling ice lollies. Those of you who have visited the subcontinent may have seen that they buy big chunks of ice and they crush it and then they sprinkle some juice over it and that becomes a lolly for the poor people in the village and they buy that lolly and they eat it. Now this person who is poor, for example, let's say he has 200 rupees or 300 rupees. He goes to those people who sell ice to him he buys eyes worth 300 rupees and then he will make the eyes lollies and sell it for 350, 400, 450. With the 100 or 150 rupees profit that he has made, he will feed his family, and the other 300 he will go the following day and do the same thing. Now if this 300 rupees melt away, then he has got nothing to stand on. So he must sell, and he doesn't have a fridge freezer. So he puts it on his lorry, he brings it, and he calls people that buy ice from me, buy lorry from me, buy ice lorry from me. Shardul Ghani Khutpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that this person was selling ice lollies. He had no freezer to stop this ice from melting. And because it was intense heat in June and July, people were not coming out of their homes. A few people like myself who had some kind of urgency, were going from one place to another place, they could not bear the heat, so each person was rushing from one place to another. And he said, when I saw that person, he was shouting and he was crying and he was weeping. And he was saying, oh people, have mercy upon me. Oh people, have mercy upon me. Then shall I stop to see what was happening? So he said, he was saying, oh people, have mercy upon me. This is my only asset to feed my family. If this man sells and you do not buy from me, how will I feed my family tomorrow? How will I feed my family tomorrow? I have no means to freeze this ice. It is melting away. I have no means to freeze. Hazrat said, I stood there. I stood there and immediately it struck to me, my heart, my mind, that are we all not in the same situation? That our lives are melting away and we have no machine to keep that life frozen. It is just melting away. It is an asset which we cannot put in the bank, which we cannot put in the freezer, which we cannot refreeze after it has melted. It is just going. Each day is taking us away from this world, nearer and nearer to the grave. Before this asset is lost by us, we need to make the most out of it. Ya sahibi, la tagtarir bitana'umin, fal umru yanfadu wal na'imu yazuru. إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً فَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُودٌ. Ya sahibi, O my companion, O my friend, لَا تَغْتَرِرْ بِتَنَعُمٍ. Do not deceive yourself because of the famous that you are in. Today you are young, tomorrow you will become old. Today you are healthy, tomorrow you will become sick. Today you are wealthy, tomorrow you will become poor. Today you are alive, tomorrow you will become sick. Today you are free. You have the time to perform fajr. You have the time to go to sleep early and wake up early in the morning. You can perform zohar, you can perform asr, you can perform maghrib, you can read Quran. Today you are free, tomorrow you will become busy. Ya sahibi, la taqtarib bitana'umin. Do not deceive yourself because of these favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. Fal umru yanfadu wal na'imu yazulu. This life will come to an end and you will leave all the favors behind you. Or you will remain in this world, which is a worst scenario, and the famous will be. And you will remain tormented in this world without all the luxuries. فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدُ وَالْنَعِيمُ وَيَزُولُ. And when you go to the qabrastan, when you go to the graveyard carrying somebody's janaza, then you always think to yourself that Ismail has gone and Ahmed has gone and Muhammad has gone. إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً فَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُودٌ. Don't say to yourself that he is gone. Say to yourself that it could be my janaza that is carrying next. It could be my turn next. It could be me next. Prepare yourself, my friends. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع عسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم صحيح رأيت من غير سقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فانتدم. اغتنم في الفراغ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you time, leisure, He has granted you health, He has granted you the vigor of youth, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع. Then perform some extra salat. فضل ركوع. Extra salat. Do not confine yourself only to the fara'is, the wajibat and the sunan mu'akkada. Use the vigor of youth to acquire the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wilayati khasa, the special friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come close to Allah. Come close to Allah. The more sacrifice you are demanded to give, the more closeness you are able to acquire. An old man who is 60 years old and a young man who is 18 years old. The 60-year-old person is faced with a situation where he has to control his gaze. And this 18-year-old young man is also faced with a situation where he needs to control his gaze. It is far more difficult for somebody who is 18 years old than the person who is 60 years old. Both of them control their gazes. The nearness that Allah will grant this young man, he will not give the old man. Because he has exerted no sacrifice. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. There will be 7 categories of people who will be granted shaheed under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no shaheed except the shaheed of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the second person? Imamun Adilun Shabun Nashara fi Ibadatullahi Azza wa Jal. That youth who entered the youth who grew up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Youth is vigor of youth. Youth is strength of youth to acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire His special friendship. His special friendship. My friends, if we control our desires, if we control our lustful desires, if we control our lustful gazes, if we control our base desires and abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my inner feeling tells me that the youth who controls his desire living in the Western society will be resurrected with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the day of Qiyamah. My inner feeling tells me, because it is very difficult. I always tell my young friends who attend colleges, who attend universities, who attend schools, that you can acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than us and more quicker than us. Because we live in an environment daily where we do not get the opportunity to give sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We wake up in the morning, 8 o'clock, we go into the madrasa, we remain in madrasa until 12 o'clock. Then we go to go home zuhar. Then after zuhar again, classes start, we remain in madrasa until 4 o'clock. All the time engaged in madrasa, masjid. So the opportunity to give this sacrifice arises very little compared to you. And you go at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock into the university. There is a very pretty girl here, very attractive girl here. And inside, your nafs is encouraging you to enjoy yourself by gazing at many other ladies. And all the time you are controlling yourself. Imagine how close you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within seconds, within hours, within minutes. Take this, don't take this as a test. Take this as an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sit in the company of the pious people so you learn to benefit from these opportunities. Learn from the pious people, those who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and learn how to make the most out of these opportunities. Of these opportunities, don't strive on your door every day. If you go straight, you will acquire the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you sleep, you will go into the depth of Jahannam. So, اِغْتَنِمْ فِي الْخَرَابِ فَلَّدَكُمْ. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says that utilize your youth, utilize the vigor of your youth, utilize your life, and do as much as you can for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? أَسَىٰ أَيُّكُمْ أَمُوتُكَ بَرْضَكُمْ. Do not think to yourself that you will live till you are old. Don't think to yourself. Do not think to yourself that because your father died at the age of 60, you will also live till 60. Your death may come suddenly. كَمْ صَحِيْهِمْ رَأَيْتُمْ غَيْرِ سُقْمٍ ذَهَبَتْ نَفْسُهُ السَّيِّنَةُ فَلْبَتَلْ. I have seen many, many healthy people who never experienced a headache, who never experienced a sickness. ذَهَبَتْ نَفْسُهُ السَّيِّنَةُ فَلْبَتَلْ. They went to sleep at night and not awake in the morning. The same may happen to us. We may live in our teens, we may live in our 20s, we may live in our 30s. So let us value each and every second of our life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that every day when the sun rises and the day begins, the day speaks to us. The day speaks to us and it makes a proclamation. It says, O people, whoever from amongst you is able to carry out a good deed, must do so today, because I am never going to return again. Every day is the day, as soon as the sun rises, it makes an honor. Oh people, whoever from amongst you is able to carry out a good day, good deed, must do so today. Because I will not return. These days will not return. What is gone is gone. Now what we need to do is to make istighfar, make tawbah, and make a firm resolution for the future, and make sure we do not waste a single second. Not waste a single second. So what we need to do at the beginning of the year is not to rejoice, not to feel very happy that a new year has begun. We need to look at the year that has passed. We need to do muhasaba. So I was saying you need to do two things, muraqaba. The year has started, so you need to watch yourself and you need to make sure that you monitor yourself that you don't sleep in this year. And this muraqaba needs to take place on a yearly basis, on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minutely basis, on a secondly basis. Whenever we do anything, let us question ourselves, what am I doing? And if the activity that I am going to engage myself in is going to bring profit in the hereafter. If it is not going to bring profit in the hereafter, I was abstain from it. Is it going to bring profit in this world? It's going to bring profit in this world, okay. If it is not going to bring any profit in this world, I will substitute. This should be the principle. And after muraqaba, after the amal has been carried out, we need to make muhasaba. Muhasaba. We are all sitting here since Maghrib, we will remain here till Isha. What we need to do is we need to sit down and do muhasaba. What was my intention when I was speaking? What was my intention when I was listening? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled in my heart and mind good thoughts, thoughts of repentance, thoughts of firm resolution for the future, did I utilize that? Did I turn to Allah? Did I say to Allah that oh Allah, make me close to you? What did I do in this 1 hour? How did I utilize it? We need to do muhasaba. So first, muraqaba. We need to monitor ourselves during every second of our life. And after every activity, we need to do muhasaba. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala used to say, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Reckon yourself. Hasibu. Reckon yourself before you are reckoned on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save God us on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reckon us for each and every activity of our life. Dr. Abdul Arifi, rahmatullahi alayhi, the eminent Khalifa of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummah Thani, rahmatullahi alayhi, and the Sheikh of the lives of Mufti Taqi Usmani and Mufti Rafi Usmani, he says, Dr. Abdul Arifi, rahmatullahi alayhi, that we are spending our lives in so much filth, that our book of deeds are filled with so much filth, that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our book of deeds, and he will say, Itara kitab, read your book of deeds, read your life, study your biography, because each and everything has been written there. Itara kitab, kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. You do not need anybody to reckon your life, because as soon as you begin to read, from the time you have become balig until you breathe in your last, everything will be written in there. And the flashbacks will tell you, yes, I did this, yes, I did this, I know I did this, I know I am doing this. And you will be able to see the good and the bad, and you will be able to assess yourself whether you belong to the people of Jannah or the people of Jahannam. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. As soon as the person will open his book of deeds, and he will flip through his book of deeds, he will say, Ma li hadha al-kitab, la yughadiru saghiratan wa la kabiratan illa ahsaha. This book is ajeeb. This book is ajeeb, this book of deed. It is a wonder. Ma li hadha al-kitab, it does not leave any significant item of my life. It has recorded every big item, every small item, significant item and significant item. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And people will find in their book of deeds everything that they had done in this world. My friend, when we commit sins in the darkness of the night, when we commit sins behind closed doors, remember that nobody is watching us but the Creator is watching us. And Muslim Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, and he has stated this in his well-known Tafsir Ma'arif al-Quran as well, that each and every item in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is CID for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we commit sins behind closed doors, then the door is witnessing, the carpet is witnessing, the wall is witnessing, the tube light is witnessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant all these items the power and the ability to speak, and they will witness at least on the day. And I will say, my young friends, that the darkness that you use, the darkness that you use to conceal you when you are committing sin, that darkness will be a witness against you on the day of Qiyamah. The darkness will be a witness against you on the day of Qiyamah. It is against the idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person will see everything written. Dr. Abdullah Arabi rahmatullahi alayhi said that we are so filthy, our book of deeds are so filthy, that even at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say that, oh my servant, you know that you have perished. You know that you have no chance of going in Jannah. But if you accept one condition of mine, that I will let you go into Jannah without any account. You say, oh Allah, what is that condition? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say that let your wife see your book of deeds. Now you have either of two choices. Either you go in Jahannam, or let your wife look at your life, and I will let you go in Jannah without any account. Dr. Sabr Rahmatullahi says that our lives are so filthy that we will give preference to Jahannam, but we will not want our wives to look at our bodies. Think about our lives, my friends. We are just passing our lives. The only thing we can see is, I'm performing Salah, I have got a Shari'i beard, I have got Sunnah clothing, I'm performing Hajj, I'm performing Umrah. We cannot see the negative aspects of our lives. The hasad and the jealousy that we entertain, the hatred that we entertain, the miserliness and the stinginess that we entertain, the ungratefulness to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is within our hearts, the pride and the arrogance that lies within our hearts, ujba and self-conceit, which we are the victim of, our minds do not go to these fields. Hypocrisy that we entertain. We are far, far away from being the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we need to do at this stage is to look back. Look back and assess all the negative and the positive points in our life. Make a list. This is negative, this is negative, this is negative, this is negative, this is wrong, this is evil, this is evil. And make a firm resolution that by the end of 1429 or by the end of 2008, I will purify myself of every illness that lies in me and start working. If we are able to do this, my friends, then we have in reality celebrated the beginning of the year. Repent, so the past is clear. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and start this process. Sit in the company of pious people, sit in the company of mashayikh. Attach yourself to pious people, attach yourself to mashayikh, and engage yourself in those movements which bring the realization of the hereafter. Give your time to those movements. Go in Jamaat, go in Tabligh, and bring the realization of the hereafter. Bring this realization that one day I have to depart. And with that, the list that you have made, you must start checking every day. How far have I progressed? Keep contact with your Shaykh. Wherever you find any difficulty, tell your Shaykh that this is an illness which I am trying to get rid of, but I have not succeeded so far. If we are able to do this, then we have, my friends, in reality succeeded. Our situation is, like Dr. Abdul Arifi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, there is more evil in our lives than goodness. But we are still complacent and content. We are all very happy. We never worry about hereafter. There is no worry. This is the reality. There is no worry whatsoever. We are happy, content. We have been listening to bayans and lectures for years and years. We have been sitting in the company of the mashayikh for years and years. We have been going in Jamaat, giving 40 days, 4 months for years and years. But the initial change that had come into our lives, that is, we are still there. Our train has stopped on the first station. After that, it is not progressing. Why? Because we have not made this an objective of our life. I want to become totally pure, clean. I want to become the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to 100% follow the Sharia that was handed over to us by our pious predecessors, which was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If this deen is there, if this worry is there, then my friends, we will succeed. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam, very great Imam, Muhaddis, Faqih, Wali, you name it, everything was there. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, very great Imam, very great Imam. If you look at his life, then 99.9% or more than 99.9% purity, piety, goodness, hard work, the Ummah is indebted to his work. And if he had ever made a mistake which we are unaware of, but every human makes a mistake other than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, we are 100% sure that because he was a great faqih, great imam, great muhaddith, and great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must have repented. So when he departed from this world, imagine with what reward he must have departed, with what nearness of Allah, with what friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But totally opposite to our way of thinking. There is more evil in our lives and less goodness, but we are content. And there, it was 99 to 100% goodness. And very little evil, and that must have been erased through Tawbah. But when he is in his last moments, one of his students comes and he says, Hazrat, how are you feeling today? How are you feeling? Kaifa asbahta? How is your morning? So he said, Asbahtu min ad-dunya rahila. Allahu Akbar. This is the great Imam Ibn Shafi'i rahmatullahi. He started weeping. And he said, Asbahtu min ad-dunya rahila. I have entered the morning and I am in the state of traveling from this world into the hereafter. Asbahtu min ad-dunya rahila. وَلَيْ إِخْوَانِي مُفَارِقًا and I am about to depart from my friends. وَلَيْ كَاسِ الْمَنِيَّةِ شَارِبًا and very soon I will taste the taste of death. وَعَادَ اللَّهِ وَارِدًا and very soon I will stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after he begins to weep more and he says, لَا أَجْرِي رُوحِي تَسِيرُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَوْهَنِّوْهَا أَمْ إِلَى النَّارِ فَوْأَزِّيهَا. At this precise moment, I do not know whether to congratulate my soul or to console my soul. Because I do not know whether my soul is going to Jannah or Jahannam. Right at the time of death, I do not know whether to congratulate my soul or whether to console my soul, because I do not know after departing where my soul is going to go, whether in Jannah or whether in Jahannam. Such great personality is afraid of what will happen in the hereafter. And we are engaged in sins, and no change in our lives. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, from today, we will change our lives, and we will pay more attention to the life hereafter. We will value every second of our lives. And as I said, involve yourself in Jamaat work, in Tabligh work, other activities which bring the awareness of the hereafter, and sit in the company of the Mashayikh, the Ulama, the Akabir. Keep yourself attached very closely to your Mashayikh and read and study books like the Fadail al-Sadaqat by Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi and the Remembrance of Death by Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. This will always remind you of the hereafter. It will lessen the attraction towards unlawful desires, and inshallah it will help you in preparing for the life hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.